Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles this morning. And we'll go to chapter 24. We're going to be covering a few chapters in Second Chronicles. Now, most people hear the name of the book of Chronicles, and their answer is to fall asleep. All right, this is 2 Chronicles. We're not just doing a list of names here, okay? Plus, I don't like reading lists of names, mostly because I have to read them. And if you have to pronounce the names in the Bible, so if you don't know what those kind of weird names are, well, then you need to read your Bible. You'll see how terrible it is to try and pronounce some of the names of the Bible. And then you'll be thankful for people named, you know, Stephen and Michael and, you know, the normal names, like we have probably half the congregation, right? Unless your name's Kevin and then it's spelled weird if you come here. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse number 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord, and so on. Down you go. And so here is... Here's a man by the name of Joash. He becomes king. He's king at 7. That scares me. That seems like a bad idea, right? King at 7. There's not very many 7-year-olds you trust to do much of anything. There's not many 17-year-olds you trust to do much of anything. You start getting a little bit better when it's 27-year-olds, right? That's kind of the idea. We're like, oh, 7. I may trust a 7-year-old slightly more than a 17-year-old, but only because they don't have enough knowledge to know how dangerous it could be to be the king, right? The 7-year-old usually would want, you know, stuff. The 17-year-old may be like, just take their head off. A little too often, right? And all they do, well, he's the king, so you die. There it is. So I don't know that I would want to trust that. But either way, Joash is a great king, according to the Bible right here. He does have his mistakes at the end. We'll find that. But he says in verse number 2 that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. There's several characters throughout this, and I'm going to try and do a little history lesson because we all love history. Names and dates are not my thing either, okay? So if I keep looking back at the notes, it's because I got to remember which name I'm supposed to say right there, okay? You say, well, you should have all that committed to memory. So should you, all right? But we don't, so we're going to look at the note to make sure I say the right name, because otherwise you get all the Jehovah whatever's all mixed up, right? And so we try not to do that. Some of us have a hard time remembering which one's Elijah and which one's Elisha. So, okay, so we all are on the same page. And so let's go back. Let's see if we can all wake our brains up for a moment, okay? I am not trying to trick you. Number one, okay, who was the first king of Israel, humanly speaking? 1 Samuel 8. Saul, right? How long did he officially reign? 40 years. He reigns 40 years. Now, I know the Lord takes him out after 2, right? But he lets him stay reigning 40 years. And then who takes over for Saul? David reigns over the nation, and he reigns for 40 years. Yeah, some of us have got it. We got a pattern here. Solomon comes in, right? Third king. Reigns for 40 years. All right, you see how... And then he is followed by his son, Rehoboam. Now we're finding out if you can remember any of these names now. It's easy when it's Saul, David, and Solomon. Now we get to Rehoboam. Now Rehoboam's where everything falls apart, right? Rehoboam decides he's going to listen to his friends instead of the old counselors that his father had, decides he's going to go ahead and tax the people. And so him versus Jeroboam, I want to make sure I get the right one, Jeroboam, are in contest that the kingdom splits. So at that particular moment, you have the northern 10 tribes that go and follow Jeroboam. They're later referred to as Israel throughout the books of the Kings and the Chronicles. And then you have, of course, Rehoboam still reigning, and he is over Judah, technically Judah and Benjamin, but it's called Judah. And he's reigning at Jerusalem as the king there. Now you get that split. When that split happens, all sorts of things happen after that till we get down to this point. But Israel, the northern one, in general has bad kings. Ungodly, wicked, most of them are not great. The vast majority are worse on that side than they are on the kings of Judah. The kings of Judah, you get some really, really good ones. You also get some awful ones, right? You get the same, you know, mix. But the mix is slightly better for the tribe of Judah. And so there you have that split. Now, when you get down a little ways, you get to the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's reigning. He was a good king, except he decides to make league with this guy named Ahab over here in the tribe of Israel, in the nation of Israel. So you got Jehoshaphat and you've got Ahab. Anybody know who Ahab's married to? Jezebel. Yeah, we all know her. She was great. That's why you find all those wonderful girls today called Jezebel. Nope, nobody wants to name their daughter Jezebel because she's awful, right? She's terrible. So you got Ahab and Jezebel. Well, Jehoshaphat says, I'm going to make a league with Ahab. We're going to be buddies. We're going to go to war together, right? Well, in the end, Jehoshaphat's in trouble for that. And when he dies, all that is left is his son Jehoram. And Jehoram takes over for Jehoshaphat, and his wife has a name, and it's Athaliah. Athaliah. There we go. Got it right. Athaliah is Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. All right. What a wonderful choice this was. Now, I know, all right, your past can change. And you don't have to be, ladies, right? You don't have to be just like your mother. But I'm going to be honest. Athaliah was just like her mom, okay? Her and Jezebel, it's like a clone. She is awful. We're going to see that here in just a minute. And Jehoram, he goes ahead and he is so bad that it's fitting the woman that he married, Athaliah, he goes ahead and kills all of his siblings. He says, I'm taking the kingdom. And since dad made me, said I was going to be the king, I'm the king. And just in case any of you think you're going to take it from me, I will kill all of you. So he kills all of his siblings to ensure that he gets the throne. And he does. He gets the throne. Of course, the Lord gives him an awful disease and he dies. Look back just to chapter 21 here. I'm trying not to make my intro too terribly long, but get you enough of the info that you need, okay? Are we all good still? Yeah. We're all good following along? Okay, all right. Verse number 20, the last verse, it says, 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. How's that for an epitaph? Nobody wanted you. That was how he died. That's how bad he was of a king. Nobody even wanted him. They're like, yep, nope, he can go. Good riddance. See you later. Now here's the trouble, though. The trouble is that when Ahaziah dies, his wife decides that she wants the throne. His mom, Athaliah, that terrible woman, that descendant of Ahab and Jezebel, she says, I want the throne. So look at 2 Chronicles 22, look at verse number 10. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. Now you want to know how wicked this woman is? Those are her grandkids. Now you can say, man, Amaziah, he was rough. He killed all of his brothers. Joram. Joram, he's terrible. He's terrible. Kills all of his brothers, kills all of his siblings. Yeah, he didn't kill his grandkids. I mean, Cain killed Abel. That was bad. Some of your grandparents in here, the thought of killing your grandkids so you could have the throne? That's super messed up. Like, that's so awful, it's almost inconceivable. And she goes in and she just starts slaughtering all the seed of the house so that she could go ahead and take the throne and be queen. That's wicked. That's wicked beyond wicked. I don't know what the level is beyond wicked and abominable, and I don't know how far down you can go, but whatever it is, that's Athaliah. She is awful. And she becomes the queen. But you get this little slide in right here in verse number 11. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king. Say, what happened? Well, she goes ahead. She says, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take the son of Ahaziah and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, so she's Ahaziah's sister. She says, I'm not letting my nephews all die. I'm going to get one of them. And she did. She got one. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Joram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. Athaliah reigns for 6 years before the rest of the events start to happen here in chapter 23, and we'll get into that here shortly. But you've got Jehoshabeth. She is wife to the priest Jehoiada. Gentlemen, could you imagine? The queen comes in. She's slaughtering all these little babies. She kills them all. And your wife decides it'd be a great idea to go against the queen. Steal a baby and his nurse and come to you and go, hey, look what I brought home. You did what? This isn't, your kids didn't bring you a bunny to nurse back to health. This is a baby. And on top of that, it's a baby the queen is trying to kill. And his answer is, yeah, what else are we going to do? Yeah, bring him in. And for 6 years, he's going to hide this kid. That's amazing. You know, the nation of Israel, or the nation of Judah, technically, Judah's in a world of trouble. The daughter of Jezebel is the queen. There is no king. There's nobody who's supposed to take her place. Ultimately, the place is gone. In Athaliah's eyes, she's got it and nobody's taken it. Wickedness is in place and in charge. Now, isn't 2 Chronicles much more exciting than we give it credit for? I mean, we've got murder. We've got treachery. We've got all sorts of crazy happening. I mean, there's blood everywhere at this point. It's like, oh, it's boring. The Bible's boring. Sure, read it. See how boring it gets. I know there's spots that are dry, but man, you get to some of these and you're like, everything's happening. What's next? And here they are. And what's going to happen? This kid's hiding. Well, Jehoiada happens. Jehoiada is probably the greatest character right here at this particular moment. Jehoshabeth and her husband Jehoiada do the one thing that is necessary for righteousness to arrive at a later date. Now, how many of you, please don't raise your hand. How many of you can look back into your past and go, boy, this is a train wreck. This is wickedness upon wickedness. Terrible upon terrible. It doesn't get any worse than Athaliah. But I feel like Athaliah was ruling then. You know what you need? You need a Jehoiada. The problem is most people think they could never be one. And the truth is, if you're saved in here, Jesus Christ has made a change. He's washed you of all of your sins. He's given you a new life. He's raised you from the dead. He's brought you back to life. He's given you His righteousness by saving you forever. He dies at Calvary. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there. That's what He did for everyone. He took all of our sin, all of our transgressions, all of our failures, all the things that we've ever done wrong. He took them at Calvary's cross. He died for our sins. And He rose again so He could give you the gift of eternal life if you want it. Free gift. And when He gives you that gift, your entire life can change. Amen. But you've got to make choices. Say, how could I ever become a Jehoiada? Well, the Bible tells us how we can become a Jehoiada. You know anybody in your life who needs, you know, maybe to have their entire life changed? Well, let's look at the life of Jehoiada and see the three things he did that changed the life of Joash. Think just for a moment. I'm going to pray here in just a second, but just think for a moment. If Joash grew up, if he didn't get slaughtered in a nursery at 1 year old by his grandmother, but he still grew up in the same house, you know who he'd have? He'd have Athaliah still. Athaliah was the counselor of his father, and that's what got him killed. He was counseled by his mother. That's a scary thought. Instead of taking the counsel of his mother, he takes the counsel of Jehoiada. And he walks with God. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll look at Jehoiada this morning. Father, I thank You for the day. I thank You for the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ in saving us and keeping us and walking with us. And on top of all of that, You want us to come ahead and show somebody else how to walk with You. Pretty hard to walk with You if we don't know how to walk with You ourselves. Father, I pray we'd be folks that are walking with the God that saved us, staying close to You, knowing You, and teaching others to do just the same. Father, bless us this morning. Give me wisdom as I speak. Help me to say what ought to be said, nothing more and nothing less. And Father, we pray You'd get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. If someone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Bless us even now in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, the first thing I want you to think about with Jehoiada is right here in verse number 10, 11, 12. It is that he trusts God. If you're going to be a Jehoiada, you got to figure out that God's right. You got to trust that God is going to go ahead and take care of everything. Jehoiada's here, and like I said a little bit ago, right? His wife shows up with the baby. 1 year old, got his nurse so she can take care of him. And he's standing there, and you know what's going through his mind? Wait a minute, this is the king's baby. And then she's telling it, why did you steal the baby? Like, if he doesn't know what's happened at the palace, if he doesn't know what's happened in that nursery, he's asking the questions, right, gentlemen? That's what we're asking. Where did this baby come from? What are you doing with the baby and the nurse? Why did you bring him here? What happened? And she goes, they came in and they started slaughtering the babies. And I grabbed her and I grabbed the baby. We just went into this bedchamber and we hid until all of it quieted down. And we come walking out and everybody's dead. And so we just snuck out the back. And the only thing I could think of was to bring him to you. And now he's got a choice. Jehoiada has to choose if he's going to keep that baby and do what God says, or if he's going to go ahead and hand it right back to Athaliah, knowing she's going to kill him. You know what he says? I'm going to keep him in the safest place I know. Amen. God brought him to me, so I'm going to go ahead and put him in the safest place. You know what he does? He hides him from the queen. You know what he trusted God with? That the protection would be where he was supposed to put him. Amen. 6 years he's going to hide him. That's quite the secret. 6 years? We're going to hide him. All right, 6 years. He takes that baby. Says, all right, well, we got to protect him. Well, who's going to protect us from the queen? Well, there's only one option there. God's got to protect me. God, you want me to do this? Then you'll protect it. You'll protect everything that's going on. You have your hand on it. I can't protect it. You can protect it. What's Jehoiada going to do if the queen comes walking in and goes, give me my baby right here. We're going to kill it. Nothing. Nothing. So who's he trusting that God can protect him? So what else? Well, he trusts God that he'll provide. Add another baby to the house. You know what you got to do? Trust God will provide. What do we need? Well, we need to take care. Now we got somebody else to feed. We've got somebody else to care for. We've got somebody else to put clothes on. Right? Parents, we all know. Kids are super cheap. Right? You add them and you add them and you're like, I don't know how I'm paying for any of this. And the Lord's like, don't worry, I provide. That's what we do. And he provides, and he provides, and he provides. Is it what God wants you to do? Well, then you got to trust that God will provide. Amen. Amazingly enough, God likes that you trust him. He likes to show off that you can trust him. So he lets you do things that don't seem very great and seem like they're going to cost you, and he somehow goes, don't worry, I'll pay the tab. Who's taking care of that baby? God's taking care of that baby. Joash is secured because he's protected by God, and he's provided for by God, not by Jehoiada. Jehoiada can't protect him, and he certainly can't provide. What's he going to do? He's a priest. He's just sitting there, and whatever they bring to the temple, and he's getting his part and doing those things. He's trusting God. He trusts in God's providence. That God brought him the baby, and he'll take care of the baby for as long as God wants him to take care of the baby. You realize there's no time frame. Jehoshabeth shows up with the baby, and she says, all right, I got this baby. How long are we keeping him? Well, I'd suppose until he's an adult, which means he's crossing the 20-year mark. He's 1 year old when they bring him in. They have him for 6 years, right? He starts to reign at seven. That means they're taking care of him for 6 years all on their own. 6 years. And you know what they were thinking? I don't know how long we're going to go, but here we are. Well, God, this is, I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can. Well, how long is it going to take? I don't know. Well, yeah, but if it takes that long, I don't know if I can handle it. Well, you can handle it. God's got it. It's all under control. If he's the one protecting and he's the one providing, then he's the one who figures out the timetable. It's his providence. It's his plan. It's his setup. He's got it under control. Well, then he's got it. And you don't have to touch it. You just have to do what he's telling you to do. Amen. Trust God. Trust him. Because he always has a plan. 2 Chronicles chapter 23. We won't read the chapter. We could. If you want to read all the cool story, you can read it. Jehoiada, the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthens himself. And what he does? He gets the army. He gets the captains in there, and you know what he goes? He goes, hey, we stockpiled some weapons for this day. He loads them up with weapons, and he puts some of them over by the king's house, and he puts some of them over, and he's got them at the temple. He's got them all spread out where he needs them. He's got his military all set and ready to go because he knows one thing. I'm about to make this boy king. You know the plan? He knew the plan. He didn't know when he was going to do it, but you know what? Jehoiada knew? That this little boy one day is going to have to become king of Judah. He's going to have to take the throne, which means I'm going to have to take it from Athaliah. I'm going to have to rip it out of her hands because she's obviously not giving this up willingly. Say, but yeah, that sounds dangerous. A coup against the queen? That sounds dangerous. Yeah, but if it's God's timing and God's plan, dangers don't matter. See, our confidence isn't in the army that he had. His confidence was still in the God that he had. It was still his walk with God. It was still him knowing that God can provide. It's still him knowing that God will protect him. It's still him knowing that it's God's timing and God's way and God's plan. And if it's God's plan, then it's going to work. I love all the stories, right? You get reading and these battles in the Old Testament and how everything went. And there's those verses where he's like, let us play the men for the people, right? And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. That's these guys right here. Later you get Paul and he's like, whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Who cares? Let's go. You say, that's crazy. Not if it's God. Amen. You get the armies of Israel, they're going to divide and they're in battle. And you go that way and I'll take these guys and you go that way and you take those guys. And if they're too strong for me, you come help me. And if they're too strong for you, I'll come help you. What if you're both dying? The Lord do that which seemeth him good. We're going to do what we're supposed to do, knowing that God told us to do what we're supposed to do. Okay, well, if you know what God told you to do, you got to trust him. You've got to trust him. Because otherwise, you'll still stay under Athaliah's reign. Jezebel's daughter will still be sitting there on the throne. You'll still be looking at her and her awful face. How can you say she has an awful face? Because I figure she's Jezebel's daughter. She's probably so wicked, right? She's the awful wicked witch of the West. Amen? Drop a house on her or something. I don't know. And here she is, and she's probably, and you just say, oh, she could have been beautiful. Yeah, but in your brain, you know what you're like? I mean, she's that wicked. Even when they're pretty, you don't like them. So you're just like, they're ugly. That's her. She's not ugly on the outside. I already know she's ugly on the inside. She's wicked. Anybody who killed her grandkids is wicked. You want to leave her sitting on a throne in your life? You want to leave her sitting on a throne in your children's lives? You want to leave her sitting on that throne for any length of time longer than God will allow? Well, then he's got a plan. Because I'll tell you this much, he never wants Athaliah on the throne for long. And here she is. And she's been reigning, and Joash is going to become king. You read through that chapter, they get Joash, and he's out there. Verse number, I like part of this. I really want to read part of this. Verse number 11, there of chapter 23. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced. Hey, by the way, I'm just going to slide this in. When you do right, God's people will rejoice. And all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason. Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains. Whoops, wrong thing to say. Brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering into the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. I'm done with you. I'm done. You know what else they do? Look at verse number 16. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Amen. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down. And break his altars and his images in pieces, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests of the Levites, and so on. Down he goes. He's going to start setting things back up at the house of the Lord the way it's supposed to be. You know, you start trusting God, there's going to come a spot. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to tear some things down. Just tear them down. Say, what does he do? They decide, I'm going to follow the Lord. Right? Isn't that the decision? We're all going to follow the Lord. They decided, we don't want Athaliah to be queen. We want Joash to be sitting on the throne of his father. We want the right king in place, and we want to follow God, and we want to worship God, and we want to walk with God. The decision gets made. Now, I'm going to jump back a few weeks. Teenagers, I'm going to kick you right here. You made decisions. You made decisions. You still got them? You still keeping them? Adults, you made decisions in your past. Did you keep them? How you doing keeping your choices? I'm going to follow the Lord. We've all seen it, okay? I'm not picking on our teenagers. Our adults do the same thing. We all do it at one point or another. We go, I'm going to follow God. That's the choice I'm making. And we come down to an altar and we cry and we weep, and that's good. But the trouble is, we get up from the altar after crying and weeping and telling God we're going to do it, and we never do it. I'm going to change this time. I'm serious. I got it. And you're sincere when you get down here. The decision gets made, but there's no determination to finish the commitment. It wanes as you, the farther you walk away from the altar, the less care and compassion and feeling you have for what you were about to do. And you walk out of the place and you start thinking about everything else and you forget what you said right here. You know what? You know what Jehoiada didn't want anybody to do? To forget the choice they made right there. You made a decision, but you haven't determined you're going to do it. So you know what he says? We're going to break some stuff. I like that. First, we're going to kill Athaliah. She's not getting back on a throne ever. You're saved in here. You've got to choose that you're going to crucify you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He saved me. He washed me of my sins. He deserves to be. If he is not the Lord after salvation, you're following the wrong one. Now, you can be saved and you can do whatever you want to do and you can do all sorts of crazy things and you can be just as dumb as anybody else. I get that. But the truth is, you want God to reign. You want Him to run your life. You want Him to, you want to follow Him. Well, then you better crucify you. Paul's statement is, I have to die daily. Paul says, mortify the deeds of the body. That's kill it. You want Athaliah to die? Kill your flesh. Don't let your flesh reign in this mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Go ahead and say, God, I want to do it your way. I'm choosing you. I'm going to follow you. I want you. I want to do it. And we determine that. We make that statement. We love that statement. We know that statement. We've probably all said that statement. And then we turn around and we walk out and we do what we want. And we crumble. Here's the question. What do you have to break to follow Him? They go over to the house of Baal. That was the false god. He had all the idols. He had all the worship. He had everything. And you know what they do? They bust everything up. They destroy everything. See, they made a decision. They determined they were going to do it. And then they went and destroyed some stuff so they couldn't do it again. Look what they did. They destroy the idols. Can't worship an idol that's broken. They destroy the altar. Can't burn anything on there. It's broken. Destroyed. They destroy the temple. Can't go in the temple. It's broken. And then they said, and just in case anybody gets a funny idea, we'll kill the priest. So nobody can even try and set something back up. I'm going to get the guy that's doing all the things that he shouldn't be doing. I'm going to take care of him. Well, that seems pretty serious. I mean, that seems awful extreme, you know, to make those kind of changes in my life. Yeah, but until you do something concrete that's going to last longer than 5 seconds,
Amen.
You're not going to change.
That's right. Amen.
You're going to do the same things you've always done. Yep. And you may have the right king as a savior, but he's not doing anything in your life because you can't figure out how to get your own flesh out of the way and break something that's in your way. You're unwilling to go ahead and do something we would call extreme so that we could have God actually help us. Well, you know, I just can't get victory over that music. Break it. Used to be we could do that with CDs and all the way back to records, cassette tapes. We'd bust them with hammers. We'd do all sorts of stuff. Say, yeah, but I've got my downloads. I know. How about you delete your downloads? And then, by the way, remove them from your purchase history. Say, oh, well, yeah, but if I do that, then I got to buy them again. Why would you have to buy them again? You know why it was so satisfying to snap a CD in half? Because you spent money on the CD. And so you broke it and you go, oh, man. And the realization was, if I want that back ever again, I have to pay it again. Yeah. Following God costs you something.
Right.
But it only costs what your flesh wants.
Right.
And most people are unwilling to pay anything to follow Him. Well, yeah, but if I do that, people will think I'm weird. Okay. It's really tough. People probably already think you're weird. You just want the people that like you to not think you're weird. There's a whole other group of people that already think you're weird. So don't worry about it. Well, yeah, but if I make a commitment like that, I mean, if I do something concrete like break something, if I did something concrete where I couldn't go back to where I used to be, you know what it used to be? It used to be burn bridges. That was the old saying, right? Burn the bridges. Why? Because if you keep going back across that bridge anytime you want to, you'll end up dealing with the things you used to deal with. Christians that have been saved any length of time, when did you get your best victories? When you couldn't go back. Amen. That's when we get our best victories. When we can't go back to the places, the things, the stuff. And you know what? Technology has made it so easy for us to get to anything. Well, then what do I got to do? Figure out a way to break it. Figure out a way to destroy it. Well, that's extreme. It costs me money. Okay, fine. Then you don't love God enough to go after it. You love whatever that idol is. You don't think it cost them money to make all those idols and build that altar and put up that temple. You don't think it cost them stuff? And then they turn around and you say, well, I mean, it's going to cost me if I break that. Who cares? Either you're going to follow God or you're not going to follow God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The trouble is, you want to serve both and you can't. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have the idols in the temple and walk in and go, I love God. You may fool me. You may fool Pastor Legault, Pastor Tong. You may fool all of us. Makes no difference. You are not fooling him. He knows. He knows what you're willing to give up for him. He knows what you love. He knows what you want. And if you don't want him, you do not want the right things. But most people will never destroy anything. They'll put it in a box and hide it. They'll wait till later. You smoker, drinker, whatever your addiction, whatever, you know what you do? You leave something in a drawer. Put it in a box, hide it away, just in case. Stop just in casing. That's what we tell addicts all the time. Quit just in casing, throw it all away, burn it all, destroy it all, throw it out. Dump it down the sink if you're an alcoholic, whatever it is. Whatever's holding you down, you've got to do something to get rid of it. Well, yeah, but that was costly. Yeah, and your sin cost Jesus Christ far more. See, but you don't want to think of him that way. What is in your life that God has already told you, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it, and you won't do it? Then you don't trust him. And because you don't trust him, you won't tear it down. And you'll never be a Jehoiada. You'll still sit there underneath Athaliah's reign. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, in verse number 2, lastly, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. You trust God, you got to tear some stuff down, and you need to teach others. Who are you teaching? And what are you teaching them? Now, Jehoiada comes off the scene. I know how this ends. If you haven't read the story, I'll give you a little highlight. Jehoiada steps off the scene. He dies. The princes come and they convince Joash to do the wrong things. And he doesn't follow God anymore. Well, I mean, did Jehoiada really matter? He mattered for a long time. Now, the goal is that Joash would have continued. Parents, please don't raise your hand, because I know the answer to some of this. Some of you raised kids, and you raised them the best you could, and you gave them everything you could, and you were a Jehoiada. And I know you were. And today, they don't walk with God. Your kids don't all walk with God. We wish that's the case, don't we? And there's still time. They can come back and they can get it right and they can be and they can see how great it is to walk with God. But you don't have the responsibility of choosing what they do. They grow up and they go and they make choices. I'll give you a great comparative. Isn't God the father of Adam? We all know where that went. Was it the problem with God's instructions? Nope. Was the problem that Adam decided he wanted fruit he wasn't supposed to have, so he took it? Absolutely. He knew the rules. He knew the answers. He had it all. Was God any less of a good father? Of course not. There's no fault with God. It's obviously not his fault. Then the only person whose fault it could be would be Adam's. Parents, I'll tell you, you can do everything right. And sometimes people just want to be like Adam. And they're going to do what they want to do. And we pray, and we pray, and we pray. But the truth is, your job is to teach him the best that you possibly can. He taught him, and as long as Jehoiada was there, he did right. So what did he teach him? Well, he's there in the temple. Didn't he grow up there? Parents, that's a good place to start. Grow him up in the church. Put him around as much godly things as you can. Say, does it work every time? Nope. I have friends who grew up here, and they're nowhere. They're not part of any church anywhere. But that doesn't mean, well, if I keep them out, they'll be better. That's backwards. Instead, we go, let's give them as much of God as we can give them. Let them see him. Let them get to know him. Let them get to walk with him. Let them get to see what it's like to be in church and to worship God and to praise him and to do, and we show them. We show them God's word and we read it and we study it and we preach it and we hear it and we hopefully, I'm hoping you show and you do the same at your house. That your kids know you read the word of God. Amen. And encourage them to read the word of God. Amen. And to read and to understand if they have a question, they ought to be able to come to their parents first and ask them the question. Amen. Teach them. Teach them how it works when trouble comes and we go to prayer. Teach them how to pray. The children of the disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, teach us to pray. And it gives them a great pattern for prayer. And they get done and he says, okay, there you go. And he listens and say, how do we know how to pray? Because we've learned how to pray. It's funny, you talk to a lost person sometimes and they're like, I've never prayed before. I don't know what prayer is. And you go, well, it's just talking to God. You got to show them how to do it. Your kids need to know how to pray. They need to know how to figure out what God wants them to do. Most kids have no idea what God wants them to do. You know, probably the biggest question I ever get asked, how do you know what God wants you to do? Parents, you ought to be able to teach your kids that. How do I know when God's talking to me? How do I know when God wants me to do something? How do I know his voice and his spirit and his walk with me? How do I know him? How can I know him? See, if you're going to be a Jehoiada, it's not just, oh, I can go in and trash the place. It's I can go in and trash the things that need to be trashed and build the things that are supposed to be built. Amen. Anybody can trash the place. Not everybody's good at building. You need to build somebody else. You say, yeah, but there's no telling if they're going to stay with it. That's not the point. The point is they could never stay with it if you never teach them. Here's the question, and I'll be done. Joash walks with God as long as Jehoiada's there. Joash walks with God. Jehoiada's walking with God. He's showing him how to walk with God. And Jehoiada walks off the scene and Joash fails. But the question is, who are you leading? Is there anybody in your life you're bringing closer to God and helping them to walk with him? Is there anybody that you could turn to and go, yep, they're following me as I follow Christ? Yeah, I'm teaching them how to walk with God. Parents, do your kids walk with God because you walk with God? Or are they struggling in their life because you don't know how to walk with God? Because maybe you've never been taught to walk with God. Figure out how to walk with God. Find him. Seek him. You need help, you come talk to us. We'll help you walk with God. I like showing people how to walk with God because he's the best companion you'll ever have. He's with you in the hard times. He's with you in the good times. He's with you when you just can't even stand and you just don't know what to do. He's always there. There's no greater companion. The sad truth is our children will not know what that is if we do not show them. There's far too many Athaliahs out there. There's far too many that are willing to kill their kids and kill their grandkids and their spiritual walk and destroy them instead of give them what they need so they can walk with God and know God themselves. Don't be surprised if your children are more spiritual than you are for a couple of days. Encourage yourself that, hey, maybe they're figuring out how to walk with God. I need to up my game to walk closer to God so that they have somebody to look at that knows God, knows they can trust Him, know they can depend upon Him, know they can have Him in their life, know He wants to walk with them, know He wants to be there. And if there's anything in the way, I'll tear it down and I'll destroy it and I'll put it down so that they don't have to deal with the idols that I have. I'll remove them so they have a better life. And they can know that if an idol comes up in their life, they can tear it down and they can have victory. So how do they know how to have victory? Only if you'll get one. They'll learn from you, parents. They'll learn from you. Say, oh, that's pastor's job. That's not just my job. They'll see it here and they'll look at you at home and they'll go, hypocrite. They'll use you as the excuse to go out there and live like Athaliahs. But to God, we had people who'd stand like Jehoiada. Maybe our nation wouldn't be in the mess that it's in if we had more Jehoiadas standing there going, hey, you can follow God, you can walk with Him. Let's go ahead and stand. Maybe you're in here this morning and you don't even know God. And I sound like a crazy person saying that you can know God. Paul said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul says, hey, you know what? You can know Him. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know that you're going to be in heaven forever. And nobody can know that. The Bible says I can know that. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You know that you have eternal life. You can know your sins are forgiven because it's a promise from God out of the Bible. If you don't know your sins are taken care of, if you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, you can call upon Him today. We'd love to show you. If you'd be willing to come here in just a moment, we'll be praying and we'll be singing. If you need to come, please come. I'll gladly open a Bible. We'll have a lady with men, with ladies and girls, and we'll have a man with men and boys. We'll let you open up a Bible. We'll answer whatever questions you have so you can know your sins are taken care of. Christians, we need some Jehoiadas. We need a fleet of Jehoiadas who'll stand and have done all to stand. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation now. Someone here doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I pray they'd come. Give us the chance to show them out of the Bible how they can know. Let them make a choice, at least an informed decision. Father, if we're in here today, I pray you'd help us to be the Jehoiadas we ought to be. And you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.